Get up with Josiah and Ellie. The Goulburn Valley's Hit 96.9.
What's up, dudes?
Nearly there.
Oh. Whoa. We're in a different studio, so that's not your mic.
That's my microphone.
Yeah, but will we do that again and make it perfect?
No.
No.
Because we're not perfect.
Because that opener goes for like 3 seconds and we don't want to have to replay it.
Cool.
Oh, good gear. Good, good, strong, solid start for this catch up. Is that a sign of things to come?
No.
Yes, good answer again.
No, because we've got a great interview. What is it we do today?
Wow. Do you want to just do this by myself?
Wow. Yeah, you go. I give up.
Okay. We had a really fascinating interview today with Josiah's uncle. You can say something there if you like.
Yeah, he's a shoplifter.
Okay, stop. He is a thief catcher. He catches people shoplifting and he has some crazy stories. So he's going to be talking about those. And
yeah,
also,
it's actually a really cool chat. Hey, it's me again. He's a really cool chat. Make sure you listen for that.
Oh, good gear.
good involvement, Josiah.
Now pipe down, Chachi.
Yeah, sorry.
We also talk about the things you were banned from as a kid. We talk about stupid injuries, the way you've stupidly injured yourself. Anything you want to add there?
Yeah, we do a man bun thing.
Okay, yeah, we do a man bun thing. So there's heaps in here. Enjoy. Josiah's going to go and, I don't know, have a lie
sleep?
Down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you need one.
I think maybe. I need something else.
Maybe lie down for the next week.
Maybe go for a permanent lay down and never wake up.
Yes. Do us all a favour. No, just kidding. That's me. I don't want to end the catch up on that.
Wow.
Okay, no, stop it.
Friends. Seriously. That's like serious shade there, man.
Oh, God. Whoa. All right. This is a very average opener. Enjoy. The catch up's not.
Josiah and Ellie. Hit 96.9.
Hey, Ellie, remember last week we had Shane from The Bachelor on? The long-haired guy?
Yeah, the guy who wore a kilt on the first
day. Yeah, he got eliminated.
Yep.
We spoke about with our chat with him the science of the man bun. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Yeah, and he was saying how he keeps it out of his eyes. Oh, there's like a science to it.
Yeah.
It got me thinking. I was like, you know what? There really is a science to a man bun because we all know that I harp on about mine a lot.
Yeah.
There's been something that I've been doing that I haven't told you about.
Yeah.
I've been going into some local schools since that chat with Shane.
I don't know how you were allowed into schools.
No, I don't have an ABO. Let me just clear that up. Schools I'm allowed in.
Okay, cool.
So I've been teaching lessons.
Yeah.
So after a few local teachers heard me talk about the science of a man bun, they said, Josiah, that'd be a great idea if you came to our school and taught the science of the man bun to our kids.
God, is this like before emoji class and after like best ways to text?
Anyway, it was revealed, he revealed in the chat to us that his mum's from Shep. Mm-hmm. So I found out that Shane actually was in town.
No way.
Yeah. So what I did was I called him. I said, Shane, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
You could be my show and tell. So I went into, I got some audio from yesterday's class if you're interested. I went to Kyabram Peter 12 College in Kyabram. I'm sorry I didn't invite you and I'm sorry
yeah,
this is a surprise
really
to you. I actually recorded the whole lesson with Shane. Do you want to hear it?
Yep, I do. I really want to hear it.
Take a listen how it went. Class, can I have your attention please? Good morning, class.
Good morning, Lord Josiah.
Welcome to your first lesson in the science of the man bun. Kids, for today's class, I've brought in a special guest and a fellow man bun expert. Please say good morning to Shane from The Bachelor.
Good morning, Shane from The Bachelor.
How's it going?
Yeah, good. Thank you, Shane. First of all, mate, you've got a bit of barbecue sauce there on your shirt.
Yeah, only a couple of smoulders there.
Yeah, you're not wrong, Shane. You've also got some on your chin. Anyway, class, have your pen and papers out taking notes as Shane's going to tell us more about the
science of the man bun.
Shane, let's start the lesson with an obvious question. When's the most appropriate time to wear your hair out?
When it's fun time and I don't mind it going in my eyes.
Awesome, Shane. All right, class, I'm going to hand it over to you. Has anyone got any questions for Shane?
I got a question. Pick me.
Yes, Eleanor Rose Cheney.
Is hair out more dressy for a guy than hair up?
Yeah, I like my hair out. Hair out's me. Hair up just means I have to get stuff done.
Thanks for your question, Eleanor. Ben, up the back, you've got your hand up. What's your question?
Shane from The Bachelor, are you devastated that Lord Josiah has better hair than you?
Nah, not too much. I wasn't too devastated. I was more devastated we didn't get to brush each other's hair.
Oh, okay. Do you brush each other's hair before bed?
I don't know where I'm supposed to go with that one, but there are a couple of boys near me when I'm sleeping.
So, like, do all guys with man buns then have pillow fights in their undies?
It's a little bit of both.
Oh, no, it's not, Shane. Untrue. And a little creepy as well. Let's just wrap this class up. Class dismissed.
So, I don't know whether to be more disturbed about the fact that the kids are calling you Lord Josiah or that you and Shane from The Bachelorette are just brushing each other's hair.
Hey, I'm coming to a school near you guys. Just reach
Please
out.
Please don't. Please stay away from the children as far away as possible.
Josiah and Ellie. Hit 96.9.
And the other day on the show, Josiah, you made a startling claim that you have stolen. This is what you said.
Walked out, got to my car, paid for all my stuff. I did not just do that. Coles bags aren't free anymore.
No.
I took it off. I didn't scan it.
Oh, Josiah. And so practically you're a thief.
Well, debatable. It's a 15-cent bag. I've never shoplifted before. It's a one-off and I feel sorry and I feel bad. That's
it. Agree to disagree. So I thought I'd get someone on to help us work through whether you're a thief or not. And that is your uncle, who you've said many times on this show is a professional thief catcher. He actually studies this stuff. So please welcome your uncle Shane to the show. Hello, Shane.
Hello, guys.
Shane, you know I've never shoplifted in my life because you are my uncle. You are a professional thief catcher. Yeah. However, I accidentally took a 15-cent bag from Coles the other day without knowing.
Well, just quietly. I know. I've known Josiah now for a long time. He's a little bit of a rebel, but he has a heart of gold. He has a big, big heart, this boy. And like I said, a 15-cent bag from Coles. I tell you what, we better call the anti-theft squad on this one.
No, I agree wholeheartedly.
Maybe I'll go down and pay the 15 cents later today. How does that sound?
I'm sure you've paid it over and over and over shopping there all the time, buddy.
It's actually very
true. But you
know,
on a serious note, guys, this is how shoplifters start. They get away with something little like that, and what shoplifting is, it's a habit.
Right.
Then it becomes a habit, and people think they get away with it the first time, then it becomes a habit, and they just keep doing it.
And Shane, what's it costing the Australian government? Because this is an outstanding fact. It's an unbelievable fact, I should say, how much it costs the economy.
Mate, it costs the economy about $5 billion per year.
Crazy. What?
And talking to police the other day, out of all the statistics, like for whatever crime, shoplifting is the only one going through the roof.
Wow.
And Shepparton have the problem as well.
No
way. I know
way.
Shepparton, yeah, you've got a beautiful town there, but like I said, we have a lot of shoplifters walking around the shops too. And the biggest problem with these shoplifters, they try and befriend our staff members in our shops. But like I said, some of the secrets I look for when I'm doing my plain clothes work is I always look at people, what people wear, what people carry, and what people push. Shoplifters need to hide the stock somewhere. So when customers come into our store, just take note of what they're wearing, carrying, or pushing.
So your job is to actually catch these people. What exactly is a day in the office for you, Shane?
Day in the office for me, it's all plain clothes work. I work from department stores to surf companies right down to the IGA supermarkets. And my job is to catch shoplifters. And some days you get up to 10, 12 a day in my shops.
Shane's been on A Current Affair. You've done some mini reality series for on A Current Affair, haven't you, where it documents you catching them and what you look for. You're not actually allowed to catch them in the store, though, because they can say that they planned on buying it. Is that right? You have to wait till they go through the checkout?
100% right. We want to prove the intent to steal, and the only way the intent to steal is basically past the registers or outside the door.
Which then presents another set of problems, doesn't it? Because I remember I used to work in retail and I used to have people stealing all the time. But then once the thief leaves the store with the product, then you can't really catch them because they could, you know, if you touch them, then that's assault and there's a whole other realm of problems. Is that right?
Well, no, that's not quite right. We all have what we call citizens' powers of arrest. If someone steals from your shop and they've got $500 worth of your stock, what are we going to do about it? Just let them go? Of course, the last resort is getting to that sort of stage. But the bottom line is we all have citizens' powers of arrest. Huh. It's like someone coming into your house tonight stealing your jewelry.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? You're going to let them just walk out? So the bottom line is give us the stuff back and never come back to my shop. Or bluff the customer, bluff the shoplifter with, it's on video, I'm going to give the video to the police, give it back now. nine times out of ten, they'll just hand it straight back to you.
So once you have caught these people, do you then call the cops on them?
Yeah, once we catch the shoppie, we take them back to an office. I ask them to remove everything from their pockets, give us some identification, contact police, give police the details. Only 2 days ago, I caught a shoplifter and got him back to the office, rang the police, and the police turn around to me and say, Shane, hold him. He's got 7 warrants for his arrest.
No way. That's crazy.
Yeah, so in the meantime, you've got a shoplifter who's, you know, like going crazy, and basically you're waiting for police to get there. So you've got to sort of control the whole situation all the time.
Yeah. Uncle Shane, what's the youngest shoplifter you've ever caught?
Mate, the youngest I've probably caught is a 5-year-old, right up to a 95-year-old.
No way.
Yeah. One of the best shoplifters I ever caught was a 80-year-old lady she was stealing from David Jones in the city. And she was a professional thief. Whoa. She had teams of shoplifters, males and females, and she used to run it like a school.
What?
She'd have 20 shoplifters come to her, and she would educate them on all the tricks, all the methods, all the rules. Say this if you get caught. Do this if you're in the office. It was like a school she had. You know, so it's like I said, she was one of the best shoplifters I've ever seen. I reckon she'd be dead by now, but like I said, mate, it's a big problem out there, and Shepparton's no different.
Yeah. She's like your arch nemesis, isn't she, Shane?
She's like my arch nemesis.
Yeah. God, it's fascinating stuff.
And there's another story. Only 2 weeks ago, I was in the city doing a police operation, and we observed these two Asian couples to go into a designer label store, take $1,200 worth of gear. So me and my mate, we jump on the train with them, follow them all the way where they go to a house.
Yeah.
I contact police straight away. Police turn up. 2 days later, that bus turned into a $200,000 bus.
No way.
This house was set up like a shop. It had 7 bedrooms in it, and it was just Country Road, Calvin Klein, Oridum handbags. It was set up like a shop. That turned into a $200,000 bus for me.
That is insane. Do you get some kind of a reward?
Yeah.
No. I wish.
Yeah.
10%.
Yeah, exactly. 10%. Yeah.
What I do is I don't only catch, you know, the thieves. I do training seminars where before I do a training seminar, I line it up with the owners first, and I do what we call a shoplifting exercise where I walk in there and rip them off.
Yeah, right. So you actually are the shoplifter, aren't you, Shane?
I am the shoplifter, and I know every trick in the book as well, you know. So, but it's, when we do the seminars, not to degrade these people or get people in trouble, it's all about just educating them on how to stop the problem. And in Shepparton, we've got a lot of franchises, a lot of mum and dad businesses who every day get ripped off by shoplifters.
Yeah, no, it's a horrible thing. Just pay your way, guys.
I tell you what, I'm going to definitely, I'm getting off this phone call, heading to Coles and paying my 15 cents because
yes,
I feel terrible.
Pay your way, buddy. Oh, well,
AJ, they can afford it, buddy. They can afford it.
I know they can.
Oh, well, thanks so much for joining us this morning, Shane. Shane Windred, our professional thief catcher.
And my awesome uncle, stuff. My uncle
and
Shane
uncle.
As well.
I appreciate it, guys. And any time you need anything, just give me a call.
Okay, good. I need you to come arrest Josiah.
Josiah and Ellie. Hit 96.9.
You think in the society that we live in, we're pretty safe these days. Like, this is probably the safest time to be alive.
We're in a good place here in Shep. We're away from all the disasters of the world, aren't we?
Yeah. You know, we've got OH&S protecting us at work. We've got, you know, like, parenting's become super safe. Generally, we're safe.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't think that you'd injure yourself in a stupid way as regularly. But turns out we do.
I mean, there's a lot of stupid people out there.
Yeah, there are. Sam Frost, remember her from The Bachelor?
Yep.
Now she's on Home and Away.
Yeah.
She posted an Instagram photo the other day saying that she's injured herself in an unusual way, and that is by napping.
What?
She was having a nap.
I feel like that couldn't be a more safe time.
I know, literally. You were lying flat. Like, how? How? Well, I'll tell you how, Josiah. She was lying down and then she woke up really quickly and got up and somehow smacked her face on a table And she's got a massive black eye all around her eye.
I'm guessing it was her bedside table. She must have rolled over and went,
yeah,
bang.
Unless she was napping on the couch, maybe she hit it on the coffee table. I don't know. It's bizarre. Was she napping underneath the table? We'll never know.
How do you nap and end up with a black eye?
Well, I don't. Apparently, it happens. Unless she's like been beaten up and doesn't want to admit it. Is that heavy?
Yeah.
Nah, the table thing. The table thing's the way to go.
The table thing.
But it got me thinking about stupid injuries. 13, 12, 16. Have you injured yourself in a stupid way? Because I certainly have. You certainly have.
Yeah, I was in high school actually once and we were juggling the soccer ball, the football, in a circle. And I had a mate when I was 15, he was taller than me. I jumped up for a header.
Yep.
He stood behind me, jumped into his mouth. This guy was a big boy.
You jumped into his mouth?
Yeah, literally. He stood behind me, literally jumped up for a header, jumped through into his mouth. His tooth went into my head.
Did he eat you?
Sliced my head open. I had to have 5 stitches in the back of my head.
What? No way.
Stupid injury.
Yeah.
What about you? Surely you've had a few.
Yeah, I have had a few. I cracked a rib from coughing too much.
Actually?
Yeah.
Amazing.
I had a cough for like 6 to 8 weeks. And in the end, I just went, and it just cracked. I was like, oh.
Well, you do hear a lot of people who sneeze with their eyes open or whatever, and then they end up cracking ribs and stuff like that.
Yeah,
that's a stupid injury as well.
I know. It sucks. It's not fair. Like, at least you want a cool story. Like, the falling off the scooter that I did last year in Greece, there's a cool story attached to that. But, you know.
Yeah, true. You're overseas. You're in Greece.
Yeah, I'm on a scooter. It's cool.
You weren't being stupid at the time.
No, exactly. So, you know, but. Stupid injuries, they do happen, and we want to hear about them this morning. So give us a call. I had a bit of a scar on my face. My brother and I were playing slaps. Have you ever played slaps?
Yeah.
Where you like you put your hands together and you have to slap each other's hands.
Yeah.
And he got me and scratched the hell out of my cheek. And it was like the week I started year 8 as well, like first week of high school.
So you had a scar under your eye.
Yeah, so everyone's like, who's this scar girl? What's going on? Not cool.
Loser.
Yeah, this game slaps got out of control. Let's go to Drew from Bateman's Bay. You're a long way from home, buddy.
Yeah, always pass through here. Having a listen to you,
people.
Appreciate that, mate. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Drew. That's awesome. Have you got a stupid injury story for us?
Yeah, I burnt my nose on the kettle.
How does that possibly happen, Drew?
Well, I reckon I was saying this coffee doesn't taste any good. I wonder what's wrong with it. So then I got another cup, it didn't taste any good either. So then I boiled the jug and I thought I'll just sniff the water and see if the water's all right. And as I
went to
the jagger, the steam came out and burnt my nose.
True.
True. That is so funny. Oh, my God.
I can actually picture that. That's something you want on camera as well, isn't it?
Exactly. You just painted that picture perfectly. How bad was the injury? How bad was the burn?
Oh, that's me. Everyone was laughing at me.
I know. I feel bad.
That hurt more than the burnt nose, and
therefore
I laughed at
you. Oh, sorry, Drew. Sorry for laughing.
Dora, we're
you.
Not laughing at you, mate.
My abs hurt a bit. Oh, well, thanks so much for your call, Drew. That was awesome. All right, let's go to Paul from Shepparton. Paul, have you got a stupid injury story for us?
Yeah, when I was about 14, I needed myself to the head doing high jump and broke my nose.
Awesome. You broke your nose.
Yep.
Okay, doing high jump, don't you go backwards with the high jump? Like, don't you do the old Fosby flop thing? How do you knee yourself in the face?
Oh, I don't even know, to be honest.
Was it on the way up or on the way down?
On the way down, actually.
I mean, on the plus side, you sound very flexible because if you're able to bring your knees all the way to smack your nose open in a high jump, did you at least make the jump?
Yeah, I did.
Oh, there's a positive.
Yeah, did you win?
Yeah. Nah.
Oh, Devo. Have you ever been able to go back to high jump since?
Nah, because I've never been any good at it.
Do you know what? Yeah. Neither was I. I used to go head first and just like dive over it. Oh, thanks so much for your call, Paul.
No worries.
Keep those stories coming, guys. Hit us up on the socials. They're hilarious. I love a good stupid injury story.
I feel like there's so many more out there as well.
Oh, it humanises us all. Makes us all feel better about ourselves.
Josiah and Ellie. Hit 96.9.
I get angry. I get angry, but I don't let the anger get me.
Okay, that's my new favourite song.
Well, you're smiling and dancing around the studio to that song, so I don't know how angry
it's
you can be.
It's such a good song. Well, this is telling me not to let the anger get me, so maybe I won't.
What have I done wrong?
Nah, you've actually not done anything wrong today. Well done, buddy.
There's a first. Round
well
of
done, yeah, well done.
My first show I haven't offended somebody.
Oh, you have. You were making some very questionable stuff about Kim Jong-un and Donald Trump earlier.
How good's Trump? Oh, damn. There he is.
I'm angry again.
There he is.
No, what angers me is the other day I got my wedding invite for my brother's wedding.
Congratulations to your brother.
In December. That's quite late to send out invites.
Yeah, that's 2-3 months away.
Yeah, yeah. But the reason they left it so late is because they were like, don't worry, we've already sent out a save the date. Now, save the dates. That's what I want to talk about this morning.
That's what you're angry about?
Yes. Because what is the point in sending out a physical save the date if you're then going to, a couple of months later, send out an invite as well? If you know the date, if you know the venue, why not just send out the invite to begin with?
Can I ask, when you send out a save the date, do you have to RSVP to that or you don't? That's just lock that date down.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just, hey, just so you know, you're going to be getting an invite to this, which is great. I get the concept of it if it's like maybe you're struggling to get the invites out, you know, early on and you need, you know, the wedding's coming up and people need to make plans. Maybe if it's a destination wedding or something. But in that case, make a Facebook event and just do it.
Where's your brother's? Is he just having it in home?
Yeah, in Perth, which is where he and 99% of the wedding guests are from. I'm one of the only ones who has to fly.
I feel like I'm with you on this. Like, it seems like not only a waste of paper, but a waste of time. Well, why are you sending me this date to save when you're going to send an invite anyway?
Exactly.
Are they just trying to buy more time?
I don't know.
But what's the point? Because when you're making that save the date, you may as well just make your invite.
Exactly. Because I get the like haste to get it out and get the date saved. That's fine. But why not just send it in the same invite? Just send out the invite 3 months earlier.
Because maybe what I'm thinking is the people that your brother sends a save the date to, maybe they'll do a little cull. So even though
you can't get a save the date and then not give them the invite, can you?
You can.
Actually, that happened to a friend of mine. Really? They are no longer friends. Two guys.
What do you mean? Like a gay wedding?
No. So one guy was getting married and he gave save the date to another guy.
Oh, right. That makes
and
sense.
And then he changed the guest list and the other guy wasn't invited anymore.
See, it can happen.
Yeah, and
hit the fan. It seems like a waste of time. I just don't understand and can get my head around it.
No, well, yeah, it's the waste of time and the waste of paper.
Oh, okay. Like, so you're environmentally friendly now.
Well, yeah, apparently so. But money is it? So in the invites that I got from my brother, there was a dollar stamp on the front. And then inside, they'd enclosed a stamp to send it back, send your RSVP back. It's like they know I'm coming. I know. I get it's nice.
Well, maybe they were buying more time. That's why he sent the invite out so late, because he's like, oh, it doesn't matter because we've sent them to save the date.
Yeah, possibly. But why not just send me that you would halve the price?
You should get your brother on to talk to him about it.
Yeah, we probably should. But then I feel bad because I did send them a message like, oh, I got your invites. They're so nice. But also, like, I don't need one. I'm the MC at the wedding. Of course I'm going to be there. Do I have to RSVP?
Yeah, so he's wasted two pieces of paper over the last little while for someone that's a no-brainer of getting there. Ellie, I'm a bit concerned for you, though, because you're angry about a small piece of paper and save the date when I just said I'd rather Kim Jong-un be a leader of our country.
Mate, I can't tell what makes me angry.
I get angry.
Okay? It just happens. Okay? Kim Jong-un can take over the world, but just don't save me a date. Like, don't, Kim Jong-un, don't send me a save the date. Like, this is when the world's going to end, okay? I'm not keen.
Josiah and Ellie. Hit 96.9.
Hey, you know how this job that we do is really hard?
Tough job. Like, so tough,
honestly,
man.
Honestly, you in your car, try and talk for 3 minutes.
Seriously.
It's really tough.
I mean, people are out there labouring. They're on the farms working hard. But you guys try to talk
Nobody
for 3 hours.
Nobody does it harder than us, okay?
I think they feel really sorry for us
right now. I think they should. Warm in this studio while people are out in it. Nah. It's tough. And my boyfriend doesn't believe me that it's tough, Gav.
To be honest, nobody we meet believes us at all.
It's like, guys, come on. We get up at the crack of dawn.
Let's be honest. It's not that tough. The only thing that is tough is when that alarm goes off. That's it.
No, it's tough. Okay.
Okay. Sorry.
So I put Gav to the test yesterday, and I do this every now and again. Whenever we're on the phone and I need to pee, because we'll be on, you know, we're doing long distance, got to be on the phone. But sometimes, you know, nature calls.
I mean, you can't just hang up and call him back.
Nah. I think it's more fun to do this. What I do is I put my phone on mute, and so he can't hear me or me peeing, but I can hear him.
Awesome.
And so I say, "All right, this is your test. See how you'd go at being a radio announcer." And I just make him talk for the entire duration that I'm on the toilet. It is so fun. He's so bad.
How long do your pees normally go for?
Oh, well, sometimes I'll draw him out a bit. Sometimes I'll just stop midstream. Be like, sorry, that was a long one, babe.
And how does he go?
Horribly.
What, so he can't talk for what, longer than 10 seconds?
He'll start and then he'll be like, then he'll just start talking about how hard it is. And it's like, well, that's not radio. I mean, it is, because that's exactly what I'm doing right now, talking about how hard it is.
But then he asks a question or something and there's no one to answer him back. No. Is that cool?
So no, then, hey, solo jocks are a thing.
True, it is.
I did a solo show for a bit. It was not fun.
I did it for 2 days and I wanted to go home immediately.
Exactly. Well, I hope that makes, you know, Goulburn Valley makes you realise just how hard we have it. Try it.
Next time you should record it, because I would love to hear that audio.
I should,
it's actually. So good. I might try that with my mayor actually today.
Okay, do it. In fact, everyone try it. Go home today, try. You know, if you're in the car right now, talk for 3 minutes. See how you go.
Or
record it. Send it to us.
Or don't talk and listen to us. Yeah, that's what we should be doing.
Actually, yeah, no, you're
right. Josiah and Ellie. Hit 96.9.
Hey, the people that'll be there for us at the moment is the Royals.
Well, they're going to be close to us today.
Yes. In fact, look up in the sky, Goulburn Valley. If you see a plane flying overhead you tonight, today.
A bit cloudy.
Okay. Maybe the plane's flying at low altitude and you can see it.
There's a plane flying underneath the clouds, then it could be the Royals.
It could be the Royals. Maybe they're just playing it safe, you know?
Or unsafe.
Or maybe they want to get look out the window. They're here to visit drought-affected regions. That's why they're in Dubbo yesterday. So maybe they want to look at the drought as they fly down.
What are the chances, though, right? The one time they go to visit the drought-affected areas, it's torrential rain. We haven't had rain in years. Then all of a sudden the Royals visit. Poor Meghan Markle's having to hold an umbrella over Prince Harry's head during his speech because there's a drought and they're helping out. It's obviously it's not enough water. There can never be enough, but
yeah,
I just think the timing was unbelievable.
I know, it's ironic, isn't it? But I feel kind of sorry for Meghan Markle, actually, and Prince Harry. I feel like that lifestyle would suck. I know that's a big call.
Do you reckon they enjoy it?
Nah. Well, I just read they've got 36 engagements while they're in here, official engagements.
How long are they here for? A week or something?
2 weeks, I think, just under.
36, 14 days. That's nearly three a day.
Yeah.
Stuff that, man.
I know. And they're like, it's not often really fun stuff. And also there's thousands of people. You've got to shake all those hands and, God, it would suck. Like, she gets to wear pretty clothes.
Do you reckon yeah, she does. Do you reckon they have a bottle of Dettol on standby?
Yes.
Imagine some of the 100%. Hands you're shaking.
Yes.
I shake some of the hands around this office and I need to wash my hands afterwards. Man.
No, they need to wash theirs, buddy. They got that the wrong way around because you are dirty.
So they're in Melbourne today?
Yeah. So they're heading down to Melbourne today, and this is what gets me, okay? So royal engagements, part of their itinerary is catching a tram.
Oh, awesome, man.
They're in Melbourne for one day, and in that day they catch a tram and they go to Government House. And joined by young Victorian community leaders.
How annoying small talk, let alone small. Imagine with the Governor General. Hey, man, it was good to see you. Good's the house? How's the weather? It's cloudy today. Cool. Thanks, Prince Harry.
The same chats over and over again. And you can't just like, they can't finish at the tram ride, woohoo, the exhilarating tram ride to South Melbourne, and then go out and have some drinks. You know, you can't like go out in the town and just let loose.
I know.
Because you're bloody Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Hey, Meghan Markle, saw you in suits. Good job.
Yeah.
Hey, Meghan Markle, saw your nude scene in suits. Good job.
Oh, God. And she's like, I just want to eat my steak. Leave me alone.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Should we go visit them today? It's 90 minutes down the road.
I think they should come visit us, really.
Yeah, Shep Vegas.
Yeah.
We should get a royal cow. We don't have one, do we?
No, a good idea.
A redheaded cow. Make a Prince Harry cow.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine, right, Shep Council running that comp for the to build your new cow.
Yeah.
Someone should have entered the Prince Harry cow.
Yeah.
He would have come up to unveil the new cow.
All right. Well, if they're listening, because they could be. They're in town. If you're listening, Harry and Megs, we've got your grandma in the studio.
Oh, yeah, we do. Hey, Liz.
The Queen. She hangs on our wall. She watches over every show we do. Come up to Shep and we'll name a cow after you. How about that?
Prince
How
Harry. About that? We'll get Tank, who paints the cows, put a little red wig on it. And there you go. Unveil it. Tourism in Shepparton, booming.
Yeah. Or whatever. Just stay in Melbourne and catch your stupid tram. We don't care.
Yeah, with your stupid traffic.
Josiah and Ellie. Hit 96.9.
You know, when you're a kid and your mum says, you can't have sugar, you can't have this. TV shows, they're a big one.
Big one.
Yeah. And because, you know, there's a lot of immoral values going around on TV these days that you don't want your kids picking up. Fair call. But Keira Knightley, we spoke about this briefly yesterday on the show. She was on The Ellen Show the other day, and it was revealed the things that she's banning her 3-year-old from, and they're not really what you'd expect.
Cinderella, banned, because, you know, she waits around for a rich guy to rescue her. Don't rescue yourself, obviously.
Right.
And this is the one that I'm quite annoyed about, because I really like the film, but Little Mermaid. I mean, the songs are great, but do not give your voice up for a man. Hello. Wow.
You go, girlfriend.
Give it up, Keira Knightley. Get back in that hole where you came from.
Whoa, that is so aggressive.
Seriously, how lefty could you get?
Do you want your girlfriend to give up her voice for you?
No, I don't. But I think if she watches The Little Mermaid, she's not going to go giving it up for me. She's still got a voice.
You never know if that's being ingrained into us from children. No, I mean, fair enough.
You know what I mean? It's a cartoon, for goodness sake.
Yeah, I agree. I reckon that's a bit rough.
I absolutely get it in other situations, but Keira Knightley, come on, man.
Yeah, you don't want to deprive your kids from like, under the sea,
seriously.
Under the sea.
Oh, you hear under the sea and all of a sudden you don't want to have a voice. Come on, man. It's 2018. Move with the times. Although there are a lot of sensitive parents out there that do ban kids from different things. My parents, for example, we were never allowed to watch The Simpsons until we were in high school.
Oh, really?
And that's a common one. There were a couple of other kids that was in a similar boat in high school.
Yeah, I was allowed to watch The Simpsons, surprisingly, because my parents were quite strict. But then when I got to like year 6, 7 and The OC was the big thing. I wasn't allowed to watch that. And I was so jealous because I'd come to school the next day and all the kids would be talking about what happened in The OC last night. And so I got to the point where I'd pretend to go to bed and then sneak out and try and watch it with the sound down really low.
This is what parents don't understand. When they say you can't watch something, it makes us want to watch it even more.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. Willy Wonka, the movie, the original, like Oompa, the original. Do you remember there was that scene where they went in the water around the thing and all this, it was kind of like a trip. Like you went on a real, it was really trippy.
Oh, maybe, yeah.
For some reason, my parents thought that was scary and they'd fast forward through that bit.
Really?
And I was like, nothing happens. It's not like it was a sex scene or anything. It was like, it was just they went on a bit of a mind trip and they thought it would be scary to us kids. So they'd fast forward that one scene every time we watch it. So I've never seen that scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, like watching that as an adult, which I haven't done. Maybe they're on like a drug trip or something.
I've heard rumors that that's what it alludes to.
Bombshell. Isn't that the worst when your childhood things are ruined like that? But we want to talk about this morning. What were you banned from as a kid? It can be a TV show that you weren't allowed to watch that all your friends were, or just anything really. Were you banned from a particular type of food?
It could be lollies, yeah.
Yeah, you had to go to your friend's house and you weren't allowed to do stuff. You know, when I was a kid, I remembered this. I was allowed to watch Neighbours. I was obsessed with Neighbours. It was my dream to be on Neighbours. But I wasn't allowed to watch Home and Away. Aren't they
really?
The same thing?
Not because of the bad morals, because of the terrible acting.
Yeah,
your
true.
Parents like they're terrible actors. You're not allowed to watch that show.
Oh, God. Let's go to Katie from Shep. Katie, were you banned from something as a kid?
As a kid, I was allowed to watch everything. But my best mate at the time in primary school was like not allowed to watch a single thing. She was banned from everything.
What do you mean? Like how bad? Were we talking like play school?
Well, it was like my birthday. I reckon I was about maybe 8 or 9. Like it was probably too early to be watching this movie anyway. But we all wanted to watch Looking for Ella Brandy.
Oh, great movie.
You remember that movie?
Yeah, great book.
Yeah, and we were quite young. Like there's some pretty heavy scenes in that. But she watched it with us at my birthday and got so much trouble when she got home.
Really?
Because it was inappropriate to watch and she was not given permission by her mum.
Oh, no. Should have given her the book for her birthday.
Yeah. Don't you study that book in school, I'm pretty sure. I suppose that's like high school. Did the mum reach out to your mum and get mad about it?
Oh, yeah. She wasn't allowed to come to my house for like a year.
Wow.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah,
what's
my
the kid
mum
like?
Pretty relaxed about these sort of things. She was like, yeah, watch whatever you want.
Yeah. What's the kid like today? Have they lived a sheltered life and now they like can't deal?
Honestly, like I haven't seen her in like 10 years.
You weren't friends after Looking for Ella Brandy incident.
Who thought Looking for Ella Brandy would tear a friendship apart?
Yeah, not me, that's for sure. Oh, perfect. Well, thank you for your call, Katie.
Thanks, guys.
Josiah and Ellie, Hit 96.9.